Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 in your Bibles this morning. I'm always grateful for every opportunity, not just to preach the Word of God, but to preach it in this pulpit. I'm especially intimidated because of all of the wonderful student preaching that we've had this semester and last semester as well. Let me commend all of you young men for the tremendous job that you've done. We look forward to years of growth and usefulness for you and hearing how God uses your ministry of preaching to change lives. Let me begin by telling you, I heard a preacher stand on this very platform a number of years ago when I was a student, and just before he preached the message, he said, "I want to begin by telling you that the message I preached to you this morning is not biographical." And by that he meant it has not been fully mastered in his life. And so this is a message for all of us, myself included, this morning, and I believe you'll see that once we get into the substance of the message. I want to begin, though, first, before we read our text, by having you to think on the words of a song that goes like this. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and waters, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, O Thou God of mighty battles, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my eyes grow dim in death, and I draw my latest breath, O Thou God of all the ages, stand by me. Notice verse 30 with me, if you would. God has Moses to say to the children of Israel. Verse 30. Get you into your tents again. But then God says to Moses, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. My heart thrills, and yours did too, as we listen to the words of the songwriter Charles Tindley. As he lifts up his heart and he says to the Lord, stand by me. But may I tell you that my heart thrills as much when I read the words of God to Moses. And now it's not the songwriter saying to God, stand by me, but it's the sovereign of the ages saying to man, stand by me. Using God's words to Moses, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, I would like to preach a message this morning that Bob Jones Jr. called a thought message, taking a phrase of Scripture and driving home a point. Now, I want us to understand that I'm not going to make light in this message or light her in this message of the songwriter's desire, yea, our desire, to pray to God and say, stand by me. But there's as much power and truth in the fact that God says to you and me, stand by me. And there's a direct correlation between the two, and in fact, they are two sides of the same coin of intimacy. They are two sides of the same coin of dependence and fellowship. And I would dare say that a man will have little sense of his need or even desire to say to God, stand by me, if he has not first been faithful in obeying God's invitation to stand by me. I want us to understand this morning that this place, the place that God said to Moses, he can have, stand by me. I want you and me to understand this morning that this place can be ours too. However, occupying this place, and by the way, it's a place of intimacy, it's a place of power, it's a place of safety. But we must realize that occupying this place is not without its stipulations, and it's not without its costs. But the Scriptures, thank the Lord, show us that the high cost is worth it. This place can be ours, but we must realize, number one, that standing there requires a great contrast. A great contrast. God says to Moses in verse 31, "But as for thee, stand thou here by me." After telling the children of Israel, "Go, get you to your tents again," a great contrast. "But as for thee, stand thou here by me." For our purposes this morning, folks, this means that there must be a great contrast between your life and the world's, and likely a great contrast between your life and the lives of many other Christians who are not willing to pay the price. There must be a great contrast between yours and theirs if you are to stand in this place. In our text, the children of Israel have just been ordered back to their tents, but Moses is invited, told to stand by God. Now this occurrence, "Go, get you to your tents again, but as for thee, stand thou here by me." This occurrence is the culmination of a series of events which revealed a heart of carnality and disobedience in the children of Israel. Look with me, if you would, at chapter 5 and verse number 22. Now Moses is in the last month of his life. The children of Israel are on the eastern side of the Jordan River, about to cross over into Canaan land. Deuteronomy could well be called, for those of you who were in Pentateuch last semester, the last will and testament of Moses, the man of God. He's giving them final instructions. He's rehearsing the law. He's rehearsing their history, their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, reminding them of their faults and failures, reminding them of the importance of their obeying the commandments of God. In this passage of Scripture, he hearkens back to the day the law was given at the foot of Mount Sinai and the people's response to the giving of the law. Verse 22, "These be the words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice." Here's a little token of mercy, and he added no more. "And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die?" I'm not going to deal with their logic this morning. That's for another time. "For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" Now notice what they say to Moses. "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken." And we go back to Exodus chapter number 20 and verses 18 to 21. Now, this is important for us to realize. we find that the children of Israel had actually been told by Moses in this historical instance, don't fear. Fear not. God has come to prove you. He gives them comfort and reassurance. But the Bible tells us in that passage in Exodus chapter number 20 that they stood afar off. Twice it says they stood afar off. And they said, Moses, you be our mediator. Now we come to verse number 28 in our text passage. And the last phrase there, God says, they have well said all that they have spoken. But may I tell you that there's more here than just that simple statement. It's as if God is saying, what they have said is well said, if they only meant it. They are giving lip service to the holiness of God. And what Jesus said of the Jews of His day in Matthew 15:8 could just as easily have been said of the Jews of Moses' day. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 29 only confirms that this was the case with the children of Israel. God ends verse 28, they have well said all that they have spoken. Verse 29, oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep all my commandments always, and that it might be well with them and with their children forever. To cap it all off, Moses, within a very short time, a few chapters later in chapter number 31, would say to the very people he's addressing here, as he, if we can say it this way, as in his last few hours of life, he says to them, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Because of their hypocrisy, drawing near with their lips and their mouth, but their heart being far from them. And he says, oh, that there were such a heart. Because of the hypocrisy of the children of Israel, God says to them, go, get you to your tents. But to the man Moses, he says, you stand here by me. For our purposes today, it's important for us to understand under this thought that when others are unwilling to pay the price to be in this place, if you are willing to bear the contrast, this place can be yours. If you are willing to bear the reproach of Christ, and as the author of Hebrews says, go to Him without the camp, you can stand in this place. If you are willing to esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt, this place of intimacy, power, and safety can be yours. And as we exhort you, and as I'm exhorted to bear the reproach of Christ, just as a little side note, I remind you and me that He bore our reproach on the old rugged cross. We live in a world, and even narrowing our focus more from the world as a whole down to our independent fundamental Baptist world, we live in a world where so many are content to live the lifestyle of a Christian without love for Christ. We live in a world of Christians who want to seek the opportunities, all that is incumbent with, all of the accoutrements of the Christian life. They want to seek the opportunities without striving in obedience. They want to maintain association without the adoration and the action. They desire blessings without burdens, satisfaction without sanctification, happiness without holiness, and fruit without faith. I remember hearing an evangelist say many years ago, most people desire the results of revival, but they're not willing to go through the process necessary to have it come. We want the fruits without the faith. But let us be different. Not just from the world, but from a weak and worldly Christianity all about us. Let us make the great contrast. And yea, let us embrace the great contrast in our lives, so that we can hear Him say, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. Not only does standing in this place require a great contrast, but also we must bear in mind, number two, as we consider this text phrase, standing in this place requires a great concentration on the individual. Notice the phrase again, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. Singular pronouns, not plural. God is speaking to the individual, Moses. Whereas the great contrast in our first thought focused on Moses over against the children of Israel, this great concentration focuses on the individual over against the crowd. This place of intimacy, power, and safety is a place that is only occupied by individuals. If we are to occupy this place, we must realize that godliness is not gained in groups. Devotion is not a democracy. Intimacy is not all-inclusive. Holiness is not to be had in the herd. Listen, the secret place, that place of power, intimacy, and safety, the secret place is not in the cafeteria. It's not in the commons, and it's not even in the classroom. That secret place is in the place that the Bible has said it will be all along, and that is the closet. And may I remind all of us that what happens in the closet of your life is the key to what will happen in the arena of your life. To illustrate this point, I want you to go with me in your minds to the book of Hebrews. We find several contrasts and comparisons there. In chapters 3 and 4, the author of Hebrews uses the nation of Israel, or for our purposes in this message, the crowd, as a contrast for the believers to whom he's writing. Most of the time, national Israel, whether in Hebrews or in the Old Testament, is viewed in a bad light for their disobedience and their deficiency. Chapter 3 and 4, we see them viewed in that bad light, their refusal to enter into the rest of the promised land, to go into the land of Canaan, and in disobedience and disbelief, they were not allowed to enter into that rest, the author tells us, and they were consigned to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But we come to chapter 11. And the focus is not on the crowd. We find the focus is on individuals. We read of an Abel who stood alone and made a choice to offer the sacrifice God commanded. We read of a man by the name of Enoch who, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, alone walked with God. We read of a man by the name of Noah who, against the world, moved with fear, and built an ark and preached righteousness, and an individual stood against the crowd, and God spared him. We read of an individual by the name of Abraham leaving behind Ur of the Chaldees, family and all that was familiar, and taking upon himself for the rest of his life the description of stranger and pilgrim, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, a better country, the Bible tells us, a heavenly country. An individual. We read of an individual by the name of Joseph who on his deathbed gave commandment concerning his bones, because he had ringing in his ears the promise of Father Abraham given to him by God that you're not going to be in Egypt long. Don't get tied down. Joseph, the individual, looked with longing gaze to a day when his people would be taken out of Egypt, and he said, I don't even want my bones left here. And the individual, listen, when the nation of Israel in those early years was in danger of getting comfortable, Joseph said, don't forget, we're not here for long. I think of an individual by the name of Moses who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and stood against the prevailing opinion and popularity of his day and did right. I think of a harlot by the name of Rahab, who stood with longing gaze on the walls of Jericho and looked eastward towards Jordan and saw an encampment of Hebrews and dropped the cord from her window by faith. And listen to this, an individual turning her back on the walls and the wealth of Jericho. Trusted a God who she had heard brought Egypt to its knees. A God who with the blast of his nostrils, Moses would say in Deuteronomy, split open the Red Sea. A God who for 40 years sustained his people in a desert. A God who she had heard could take slaves and make them kings. And she said, that's the God I want. An individual standing against the crowd. To stand in this place requires great concentration on the individual. I dare say, here's application. I dare say that difficulty for anyone sitting in this room, difficulty doing right in the secret places of life will ultimately expose itself before the crowd in the public place. May I just give a little brotherly admonition here? A number of you in this room would like to be married someday. Amen? May I encourage you to look beyond what you see on the physical appearance? Listen, young lady, you have every right to know about the strength or the weakness of a young man's private place. Young man, you need to know if that young lady has a secret place, what they're like in the secret place. Is there a quiet secret place when daily before the throne of God they go and commune with Him as friend with friend? If not, may I encourage you as a brother in Christ to look somewhere else? Because listen, demise and deficiency in the secret place will become public arena information in time. We've seen that standing in this place of intimacy, power, and safety requires a great contrast. It requires a great concentration on the individual. But as for thee, stand thou here by me. But thirdly, I'm glad to tell you that in this place, you can receive great confidence. But as for thee, stand thou here by me. Notice God doesn't say to Moses, but as for thee, grovel here by me. He does not say, but as for thee, be embarrassed and ashamed here by me. But as for thee, you're going to have to go without standing here by me. He does not say, but as for thee, experience disappointment here by me. But as for thee, look back with regrets here by me. No, this is a place of great confidence. When we examine the life of Moses in one great panorama, a multitude of lessons are learned. From his early years, we learn the futility of pride, the futility of self-effort. But when once Moses learned the confidence that was his as he stood in this place by God, we find him weathering unimaginable experiences. And he did all of this as, by God's own description, he did all of it as the meekest man on the earth. We see his confidence in the climaxes of life, standing before a Pharaoh, bringing the nation to its knees. We find him standing in confidence at the edge of the Red Sea, 2 million Jews there complaining, Pharaoh's armies just off the horizon. And yet we find Moses standing in confidence and saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In the conflicts of life, before the Korahs and the Dathans and the Abirams, we find Moses standing in confidence. When the unexpected circumstances of life came piling upon him, we find Moses standing in confidence. When there was corruption all about, we find Moses standing in confidence. When there was complaining by the Israelites both before a miracle of provision and still after the miracle of provision, Moses stands in confidence. Here is one for us to keep well in mind. When those nearest him compromised, we find Moses still standing in confidence. Now, what was the secret to his stand, this great confidence? Well, the old adage goes like this. He stands best who kneels most. Numbers 14, verse number 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Numbers 16, verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Numbers 16, 22. And they fell upon their faces. Numbers 16, 45. And they fell upon their faces. Numbers 20 and verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. But a great contrast. As for thee, a great concentration on the individual. Stand, a great confidence. May I repeat to you something you've maybe heard before I move to my final point, and that is this. The greatest form of pride is prayerlessness. The greatest form of pride is prayerlessness. And may I tell you that the deceptive and destructive and poisonous thing about that fact is that nobody but you and God know it. But it will come out. A great contrast, a great concentration on the individual, a great confidence. But last of all, and I'm glad to tell you best of all, don't you like it when the best comes last? By the way, that's how the Lord does things too. In this place of intimacy, power, and safety, listen to the phrase again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, the greatest companion. Who is this me? Oh, he is the I am that I am, that told Moses at the beginning of his ministry, certainly I will be with thee. Who is this me to whom Moses is told to stand by his side? Well, this is the one who in Exodus 33 and verse number 19 said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Who is this mercy? According to Exodus 12 through 15, he is the Redeemer, Moses' salvation. Who is this me? According to Deuteronomy, six times, Deuteronomy 32, he is the rock, Moses' supply and sufficiency. Who is this me? Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 5, he is the king of Jeshurun and another name for Israel. He is the ruler, Moses' sovereign. Who is this me? Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. Who is this me? He is the refuge. He is Moses' safety. I wish I had time to develop this. Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. He is Moses' resurrection. Moses dies. God buries his body. No man knows where it is. In Jude chapter number 9, Michael the archangel and Satan dispute over the body of Moses. Michael says to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, and by implication, God protected that body. Why? Because there's a resurrection coming. Who is this me? He's the resurrection. I don't know about you, but I told Dr. Surratt when I came up this morning, Dr. Surratt, I just want you to know that if the rapture happens before I get to preach, it won't hurt my feelings at all. The Lord can come, and before the message is over, His coming back is way more important than any message that can be preached. He's my resurrection, and we must keep that in mind. Listen, in all the dilemmas of life, all of the discouragements of life, all the deep water of life, there is more beyond the grave. He is the resurrection. Who is this me? Now, I have to apologize to you. To Pastor Camp specifically and to all of you in general. He is our Redeemer, our Rock, our Ruler, our Refuge, and our Resurrection. He was these things for Moses. He's these things for you. But my last point isn't alliterated under this thought. But it speaks for itself. Exodus 33 and verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Deuteronomy 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Who is this me? the friend of Moses, the greatest companion, Redeemer, Rock, Ruler, Refuge, Resurrection, and maybe because it's not alliterated, you'll remember it better. The friend. But, the great contrast, as for thee, the great concentration on the individual, stand, the great confidence we can have in standing in that place, here by me, the greatest companion. The God of Moses says to you and to me today, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. But there must be a great contrast between your life and those that are prevalent in this world. There must be a great concentration on the individual. You must pour, listen, all of your energies into the secret place. Because what you are in the secret place is what you will be in the public arena in time. In this place, there's great confidence in the greatest companion. I'm glad to tell you this morning, this place can be yours. God says to us today, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'll open to you an unreached people group for the gospel. God says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, Joshtown, and I'll use you to reach Arabic-speaking people. God says to you today, young ladies, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'll use you to rear godly children and to be a helpmeet to a preacher of mine who's going to need you to be the sunlight of his day in the midst of the discouragements and the battles of the ministry. But first, stand by me. God has said to Brother Spencer, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'll use you to nurture struggling churches and nourish them as a nurse cherisheth her child. God says to all of you pastoral majors, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'm going to use you, I will use you to feed and to lead a flock, to tenderly care for them. God has said to Brother Johnston and Brother Ike the Flesh, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'm going to use you to plant and pastor brand new local New Testament churches in Charlotte. God has said to Will Geisman and Dan Tarr, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I'll use you to put scriptures in the hands of those who've never held a page of it before. Standing in this place, our minds might ask, what more could we want? What more could we have? You know, it gets better. God says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. But how does it get better than that? Moses, a man, was the mediator in the Old Testament between God and man. But Moses in Deuteronomy 18 prophesied that in the future, God would raise up another prophet likened to him from the midst of his own people. And that prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it is not Moses the man that is the mediator, but in Jesus Christ it is the God-man who is the mediator. And the God-man who is the mediator, hear him say, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hear him again say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. And when I take my place there, in obedience to his invitation, then the God-man mediator says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even into the end of the world. And do you know that that New Testament, or that principle, is wrapped up in one simple New Testament verse, James 4 and verse number 8? Draw nigh to God, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Two sides of the same coin of intimacy, dependence, and fellowship. Now I ask you this morning, are you in that place right now? Are you there? Are you willing to say, I'll let my life be a great contrast? Are you willing to focus your concentration on the individual, the private place, the secret place? Do you desire the confidence that comes with standing there? Do you know intimately the Great Companion? This place can be yours. Are you there? Or are you occupying the fringes? Are you keeping him at arm's length, as did the children of Israel, standing afar off, wanting the association without the adoration, wanting the satisfaction without the sanctification, wanting the lifestyle without the love? Where are you standing this morning? Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this tremendous passage of Scripture. We thank you for how it challenges us. We thank you for how it encourages us. Lord, I pray that some deep and abiding thoughts and truths of Scripture be burned indelibly upon our hearts and souls. I pray, Lord, that you would help everyone in this room this morning to occupy this place, knowing that with it comes the promise that as I stand by him, he'll stand by me. We ask all of this in the name of the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Strick.
If you'll stand.